What's going on, everybody? Josh Calloway alongside Colin Kennedy at the stadium in Norman. We're after a one-year hiatus. The spring game was back on Saturday in front of over 31,000 people here in Norman, Oklahoma. Wrapped up the spring for the most part. There actually still is a couple practices left, but for the most part, put a bow on the spring today. Got to see John Mateer obviously get out here and play. A lot of the new guys. Some guys obviously held out, but a lot of new faces got to take the field for the very first time. Obviously, Colin and I will dive into some of the headliners here, some of the takeaways, some of the standouts from today. But Colin, first off, just nice to have it back. Obviously, last year we had the Crimson Combine. Wasn't good. This year, you know, pretty decent crowd. You know, it ended up being okay weather-wise. I mean, it was a little chilly in the morning, but actually ended up not being that bad. And not a bad day here at the stadium. I mean, it's a spring game. It is what it is, but there were some good moments, I thought.
I thought it was a great day. I mean, look, I don't think that anyone who complains about spring football is going to be someone that I get along with. And you know what? That's okay. But, like, I think that this was really cool. And I was talking about this with some other folks on the beat. I'm going to take this every day of the week and then some, especially when you consider where we were a year ago after that debacle.
Yeah.
And then when you compare this, what took place today, to some of the other happenings across the country, I thought this was really productive. I actually feel like we learned a lot, even though that Oklahoma was able to kind of keep some things secretive, which was the goal. The crowd, I understand, maybe not the best, but at the same time, I've already checked some attendance.
Terrible. Yeah.
Bigger than other attendance numbers in the conference, the SEC, nationally, like, I think that, yes, it's a spring game. There's going to be kind of that feel to it. But at the same time, I enjoyed myself. I thought this was a lot of fun, and I'm excited to talk about it.
No doubt. I thought it was solid as well. Obviously, it was not broadcast today. Yeah. It was just on the radio. So if you weren't here, we did have a highlight video up on the YouTube. You can obviously, it's not the same as watching the game, but you at least get a little idea of what went on today. Let's start off with the obvious. Let's rip the Band-Aid off first, and that the two teams, it was Crimson versus Cream, red versus white, however you want to term that. Red and white, I think, is how it's listed on the roster. The red team essentially was the starters. It essentially was the ones.
Yeah.
And as you'd expect, the red team dominated, right? The red team won 31-3, coached by Todd Bates. That was the team that John Mateer was on, all the starting defensive players. So I know it was funny because, and again, I don't blame anyone because they weren't able to watch it themselves, but there was a lot of, like, what's going on with the defense? With the offense going right up the field.
Yeah.
It was against the twos and the threes. A lot of young, they had some defensive units out there today that were almost exclusively freshmen or, like, ones.
Walk-ons.
Like, yeah, I mean, it was at times working a lot of really young guys in. And so, I mean, look, when you have a game like this and this format, you kind of would hope, frankly, that the ones would dominate. And they did. I mean, the red team, the ones, if you will, really had their way on both sides of the ball for
Look,
the most part.
I open this with a joke about spring ball and all that stuff. I say this wholeheartedly with full seriousness. Let's go ahead and acknowledge this off the top. Yes, this was a spring game. Okay, like, we're not here to overdo it. Number two, yes, this was the ones versus the twos. And really, it was the ones versus a thin group of twos, the threes, and the walk-ons. Like, it was structured to get the red team, the ones, a good look. And as close as possible to something that they could gain value from, while obviously, again, staying within the confines of what they wanted to show in this one. It's not the most, you know, intriguing or fascinating setup in the world, considering the level of competition that your first group went out and played against today.
Sure.
But I think it was still a valuable opportunity for them to go out there. They showed some wrinkles that we'll talk about, some guys that wanted to get some reps. They got their opportunities. There was still something to gain from that type of setup.
No doubt. So we'll start to pick it apart a little bit. Let's go with the obvious right at the top with John Mateer.
Sure.
Let's start with the way he looked. Obviously, a lot was made over the course of the spring about, oh, John Mateer's tweaking his throwing motion. Oh, he's healthier. Is he making better decisions? Is he cleaning up his footwork? Had a good day. 12 of 19, 192, the official number on the stats I'm looking at here. One touchdown. Did not turn it over, which is nice. I know a lot of fans are wanting to know, did he make any bad decisions or throw an interception? No, did not turn it over. Didn't really have any close calls either.
No.
I know, obviously, a lot last year, sometimes he got away with some. Didn't really ever have a ball that was anywhere close to being a turnover. I thought he was good. He made good decisions. What did you think of Mateer? Obviously, you know, the big microscope on him, obviously, for Oklahoma fans, and for obvious reasons. He's the quarterback year two. He had some good moments last year, but obviously at the end of the year, kind of struggled. Obviously had the rough pick six in the playoff game, things like that. But I thought he was pretty good today.
I don't really have a lot to say about John Mateer in the best way possible. Like,
yeah,
your QB1 came out and played in the spring game. I feel like if that's the narrative of the day, then that's a positive, right? Yeah. And especially for someone like John Mateer, who, as we're running the live thread, a lot of fans are asking us, how does he look? How's the confidence level? How's the command? What about the mechanics? I thought the mechanics were good. I thought the base looked good. You know, we talk a lot about the mechanics, but we know that he's been working heavily on the base. And he talked about a little bit post-game about wanting to sit in there in the pocket and make pocket passing a little bit more of his game. And he said making that a little bit more of an instinctual aspect of his game, which I thought was interesting. But outside of that, I mean, he ran the offense that was called well. They weren't going to run the fullest extent of the playbook.
Yeah.
They ran the ball a good amount in this, which we'll get to, and I think that also kind of took away from Mateer on the day, which was intentional, but I thought he looked good, man. Had some really nice passes, missed high a couple of times, but like you said, not a lot of mistakes, looked confident, controlled, and just, honestly, he just looked relaxed, and I enjoyed watching him pass.
Yeah, I thought he played well. I thought, like I said, I thought he made good decisions, and he didn't really do a lot of run game, which you wouldn't expect your QB to run around a lot, obviously in a spring game. But he got out to his tight ends. He hit Hayden Hansen a couple of times, hit Rocky Beers a couple of times, touchdown pass to Mackenzie Aileen, which was kind of a nice, like, feathery throw, kind of, you know, just a little touch pass. Did have a bomb down the field to Isaiah Satania, who was wide open.
Yeah.
They actually didn't call it a touchdown. I still don't really know why. I think Jeremiah Newcomb was the one near him, and he was a non-contact guy today, so I think they just gave him the benefit of the doubt. I don't know if he ever actually even touched Satania, but nevertheless, for all intents and purposes, it was like a 70-yard touchdown that halfway didn't count, I guess. But yeah, I thought John Mateer was good. And, you know, we've talked about it back at the very beginning of the spring.
Yeah.
I continue to feel this way. He is just extremely comfortable. I feel like more than last year. You know, just even the way he talks to the media, the way he was playing. He played basically three full quarters today, which is a lot for QB1. Usually they play like a quarter, maybe a quarter and a half. He played three full quarters today. You know, he stayed for about 2 hours afterwards signing autographs. I mean, it just feels like he's in a very good headspace, which, what does that mean? I don't know how it translates, but he just seems very comfortable and at peace and just feels like he's having fun. Feels like he's having fun and enjoying himself, which I do think helps.
I thought the offense helped him out, too. I mean, there were guys running wide open, which is going to help your guy out a lot. I loved some of the play design that was implemented today, and so he was able to make some easy throws, get the ball out quick, and you could see him getting into rhythm. It looked good. Again, I didn't have a ton to take away from his performance on the day, which is a good thing. I thought he looked good. I honestly had more to talk about with the QB2s. Like,
yeah.
Hey, man, Whit Neubauer, Bo Bentley, we know that that's kind of been the subtle storyline of the spring. Who's going to win that backup quarterback job? Who's going to get the call in garbage time versus real time? And both those guys, Josh, I'm curious what you thought about those two coming out here and battling for backup quarterback spot.
Well, Whit Neubauer was good.
Yes.
7 of 9, 69 yards, didn't score, didn't turn it over either. Had one very long pass to Jasir Rogers, which was one of the better highlights of the day, frankly. Bo Bentley, some nice moments. Also like a freshman at times today.
Two picks.
5 of 13, 35 yards, two picks. Mm-hmm. Peyton Bowen got him once. He was just trying to throw it away. And
yeah, it was a weird play.
Peyton made a good play on the sideline. The other one, Kaysen Kalmus, shout out, got him late in the game in the fourth quarter. So, I mean, Bo, I mean, really tough spot for Bo. I mean, he's on the white team, so he's playing with largely backups, for lack of a better term, going against the number one defense. As a true freshman, as a high school kid, first time playing in front of 30,000 people, I wouldn't overreact to it too much. But I thought Whit Neubauer played pretty well, all things considered. And look, we've always talked about it with Whit. He's a big guy. He's got a big arm. He can sling it, man. I don't know. We haven't really seen him do it in a game, so I'm not going to pretend to know how well he can read a defense and things like that. But the talent is there with Whit Neubauer. I know you've been a fan for a while. I thought he played pretty good.
Look, I don't think it's any secret if you've kept up with our pods. Like, I'm a big fan of both these guys. I think that they both have a lot to like about their individual skill sets. I think that they're very different players as well, which I think kind of played out on the field today. But getting asked questions on our board afterwards, I don't think it's any over-exaggeration to say coming out of this spring, especially after the spring game, that Whit Neubauer right now is your favorite to be the backup quarterback.
It would have to be.
You can tell he has far greater command of the offense. He's been in this system now with Ben Arbuckle for a while. People forget about the playing time he had early in his career. I thought he looked pretty solid, man. And Bo, this is one of those first few, Ben Arbuckle talked about it, learning opportunities in front of people on the big stage against the first team defense. Like, it's hard for a freshman quarterback who's been on campus for a few months to look good in that type of setting. But John Mateer talked about it. Bo Bentley gets to go home, be mad, and learn about it. I think both these guys get something out of today.
Yeah, for sure. Jasir Rogers, by the way, 5 catches for 70 yards.
Man.
And that's with playing on the number 2 team, the B team, whatever, if you will, going against the number 1 defense.
Yeah.
And not with John Mateer throwing him the ball. He good.
He could. How about
it? He might
it, man.
Be something. I mean, again, it's spring game. This is what you do, right? You overreact to spring games. But I do feel like, I mean, look, the guy, again, what I just said, going against the number 1 defense, he's not playing with John Mateer, and he was making plays.
Yeah,
exciting.
Look, I think that we have heard that Jasir Rogers is one of the true freshmen in this group that's going to have a shot to play in the fall. I think he reiterated that today.
Yeah, for sure. There's a lot to be excited about there with Jasir. You noted earlier, the number 1 offense ran the ball. It's been an emphasis, probably the emphasis of the spring, is getting better at running the ball. Obviously, no Xavier Robinson today, no Torrey Blaylock, and so that meant a lot of focus on Lloyd Avant, Jonathan Hatton, DeZephon Walker. All three guys had moments. They all scored touchdowns in this game. Lloyd Avant was 14 carries for 69 yards. DeZephon Walker, actually didn't realize I'm reading this just now, he had 81 yards on 8 carries today.
He might be the MVP of the day.
Probably so. Jonathan Hatton, 26 yards, did have a touchdown, like we said. His touchdown was nice. It was a 12-yarder. He broke some tackles. They ran the ball, right? I mean, we talked about it at length. The tight ends, I thought, had a good day, both creating those running lanes, but also catching. Like I said, Hayden Hansen, Rocky Beers, both had moments in the past game. Yeah, I mean, you got to see it in the season, and so I get everyone being like, let me see it against Michigan, right, in 5 months. More than fair, but hard to not feel like they got some legitimate depth at running back right now.
I think that those were the two groups, running backs and tight ends, that have had the most buzz around them this spring. And I felt like both groups came out here and proved what we've been talking about on paper for a long time. Yes, the injuries at running back are a little bit disappointing. I thought Lloyd Avant looked really good again. Just a smooth operator, man. And
yeah.
I would be curious to know what he put down receiving-wise. But just in general, I thought Avant, I mean, there were times where he was ripping off 8 yards consistently. I'm talking back-to-back. Then you've got DeZephon Walker coming in with the 81-yard day. Nearly broke off one for a touchdown where he got, hawked down. But he was another one who looked really solid. When Hatton builds up the head of steam, we know what that looks like at 230 pounds, despite being a true freshman. And then I thought this is the other big thing that I wanted to talk about, supporting those backs. We've talked a ton about the tight ends and the 12 personnel and all that other stuff, but they actually showed what we've theorized this offense to look like. A lot of 12 personnel today. A ton of Hayden Hansen and Rocky Beers on the field together. Rocky Beers was at in line, H-back, in the slot, often. Hayden Hansen on the field, in line, at H. You saw Jack Vanderslayer rotate in frequently. He was splitting a ton of time. And those three tight ends fueled the run game today, along with the offensive line and that core back. I love what I saw. Some pistol sets. I'm a sucker for the pistol formation.
Yeah.
Getting those backs the ball and letting them run. And just – those are some newer wrinkles that I thought were really fun to see from this offense today.
For sure. Bottom line, the number one, the top team offense, going again against not the top line defense, mostly had their way. I mean, they moved the ball really well, especially in the first half. Obviously, second half, you start to work some other guys in, things like that. But in that first half, when it was essentially your starting offense as it stands now, and I say that, no X-Rob, no Blaylock, like I said, no Trell Harris. I mean, you're missing some guys. But for the most part, it was a lot of the starting group that you're going to have in September. They pretty much did what they wanted, which you'd hope. And John Mateer played well. So,
and a last thing I would say on the offense quickly is the offensive line opened up some good holes. They were going against true freshman defensive tackles with the two group. So what you would expect. But we did see Amarion Harris and Ryan Foje rotate at right tackle. Mm. And Foje and Heath Ozaida rotate at right guard with the first team offense. Something to take away from this one as well.
Good call. Not a ton from the wide receivers, really.
Yeah.
Manny Choice had one nice catch on the very first drive of the game.
They targeted him pretty frequently, I will say.
Yeah, they were trying to get him involved down in the red zone. I think I remember Mateer throwing him a fade in that end zone one time that they didn't were able to link up on. But so he had that. I mentioned the McKenzie Eileen touchdown and the Satania long pass. That was about it, other than Jasir Rogers on the white team, obviously. No, we didn't really see much. I mean, Parker Livingston played. I don't know if they ever even – they targeted him once, actually, in the back of the end zone. He almost caught it.
Yeah.
Passed a little high for Mateer. If he put it more on him, probably wouldn't have been a touchdown.
Yeah.
But yeah, other than that, I know Elijah Thomas played a little. I don't know. I don't have like a snap count. I remember seeing him out there.
Had the end around jet sweep look over here.
Yeah.
And then outside of that, not a whole lot.
So not a ton, but I don't know. Do with that what you will, I guess. But overall, pretty good day offensively for the number ones. John Mateer played well, and you got some out of your run game. Tight ends made some plays.
Yeah.
For the most part, I thought pretty productive, pretty successful. Defensively, obviously, you know, it's always hard defense because you're, you know, in the spring game because you're not trying to hurt people flying around full speed. But, you know, defensively, the number one defense, you know, the white team went down and got a field goal the very first drive. Shout out Liam Evans, by the way, made a 50-yarder.
Yeah, man.
Shout out. Jason Dell also made a field goal today as well. But after that, very little. Michael Boganowski, the high man with 6 tackles for the Crimson team. A bunch of guys had 7 for the white team, headlined by Omarion Robinson, but a great camp as well. But as far as those top-line guys, Colin, they all kind of made flashes. There was a lot of good stuff, 2 turnovers. Eli Bowen probably had another interception that they called incomplete, like he probably caught it. I'd have to see it again, but anything that jumped out to you defensively? You could talk about the whole roster in terms of, like, guys who had flashes today. I mean, I thought a lot of dudes had moments in this game.
My thing with the defense is I really don't have a ton to talk about with them because, again, they were going up against the backup offense.
Yeah, they shut them down, which you would hope they would.
And a lot of guys that were going to rotate with the first-team offense were with the red team. So it was a true group of twos, if that makes sense. But Danny Okoye, one of my big winners of the day.
He was awesome.
Was forceful, was aggressive, was a tone setter out here. We've talked so much this offseason about him having to be a guy that meets the moment as a leader, as a voice, but also someone on the field who has that presence to him of being that aggressor and giving this defense that aura that it had last year on the defensive line, right? And today, 2 tackles for loss. I thought he had a third, had a hurry, a couple of tackles, was flying around. The energy was there. And Brent talked about how he liked how some guys on this group were just, they weren't lackadaisical out here. I thought Okoye was certainly part of that. I felt like he did a really good job of reinforcing the fact that, hey, we're on this field. Let's fly around. Let's go make plays. Loved what I saw from him. And then the other guy I really liked today was Cortland Guillory. I believe he had a tackle for loss or 2.
Yeah, he had a good day. I think he had 6 tackles maybe or 5, something like that.
He had a couple of plays blown up behind the line of scrimmage. He was another one who was flying around.
Yeah, 5 tackles, 2 TFLs.
So there you go. Couple tackles officially for loss. I thought I had him down for a few. I thought he was another. Again, kind of similar to Okoye. Came out here, didn't just treat it like a spring game. And yes, you're going up against the backup receivers, but they've had Jasir Rogers, Jaden Petit out there. He embraced his moment as well. And the last thing for me quickly, you mentioned him, Omarion Robinson, the punch out.
Yeah.
Over here.
That was a good play. Yeah.
And so I was
on Hayden Hansen.
It was Hayden Hansen catches the ball, running out, and then Omarion Robinson doesn't give up or just go to the ground, punches the ball
textbook,
out. Rocky Beers like threw the ball
out
of bounds.
That was a funny play. Yeah.
Which was kind of hilarious. But again, I Omarion Robinson, Michael Boganowski, some of those safeties, you know, Peyton Bowen had the pick. Safety group had a good day as well.
Yeah, for sure. Mentioned Boganowski. He had a sack in this game on Bo Bentley where he was nice because he came completely unblocked on Bo Bentley. In an actual game, Bo would have got flattened. But in this game, it was just a little tap. I got you. That's all we need.
I'll say this. To be fair to the second team defense for the white squad, there were a couple times I wrote down in my notebook, probably should have been a sack, maybe the Mateer bump.
Yeah.
Who knows? But Tank Carrington, I think, had a sack today as well.
Yes, so. I think you're right about that. I just was looking at him somewhere. I'll try and find it. But yeah, no, I mean, pretty good day. I'm with you completely on Okoye. I thought he was in the backfield all day.
Frequently,
I mean, all day. He's a guy that, I mean, the hype train is going big time. And you loop in the fact that, you know, obviously, PJ Adebore missed spring.
Yeah.
You need someone to go with Taylor Wine, and it's hard to not feel like Danny's not the big favorite there right now. Obviously, you still have the whole summer. You still have fall camp. But on April 18th, you're feeling like Danny Okoye has got a chance to start. When the season rolls around in September. So I'm with you there. I want to also make sure I noted, sometimes I've talked about it before. I watched the game on the field. You know, I don't have the benefit really of stats, which is the spring game is unique because there's not live stats at all. But
right.
And it's like you feel like a guy's playing well and you're curious, like, do the numbers match up, me feeling like this guy's playing well? and it is a case where it did. Tristan Haynes was good in this game. I was watching him, and I was like, Tristan Haynes has been in on a lot of plays.
Yeah.
He's made some nice open field tackles. He had 7 tackles today, tied for the high of anyone on the roster. Just shout out. Shout out Tristan Haynes.
Shout out CA. A little
bit of a forgotten guy, I feel like, sometimes. Considering he was a really highly touted in-state recruit, you just make note.
Shout
make
out
note.
To Carl Albert. I had Tristan Haynes down for a couple plays. I'm glad that you shouted him out because I didn't know that he was that high up. You know, Marcus James was out there. It was good seeing
TFL
him.
TFL, too.
Trene Washington got a good amount of run. He was basically the starting tight end for the second team. Yeah, shout out to the Carl Albert guys, man, taking that next step.
Some other just stats, try to get it out there.
I'll say this.
QB hurry.
Well, you're scanning.
Nigel Smith, TFL.
You mentioned Liam Evans and Tate Sandell. Trace Rudd gets put in a tough spot.
That was mean.
I don't know why they did that to him, but it was, what, a 58-yarder right here?
Into dead wind.
Into the wind.
In his face, yeah.
He struck it well. If it's not into the wind, my guy Trace may have nailed it. But shout out to Trace, man.
Shout out also to, you know, underrated because it's not that flashy. I think there's a bit of a punting battle going on here. Jacob Ulrich was very good today. Grayson Miller was fine. Jacob Ulrich was definitely the better of the two.
Yeah.
Not that I think the punting job is going to be determined based off the spring game, but make note. Jacob Ulrich today, 3 punts for 137, had a 53-yarder 2 times inside the 20. Grayson Miller had 2 punts for 60 yards, 1 inside the 20. So, I don't know. Jacob Ulrich was good today. Shout out. I thought he won the punting battle, if you want to do that thing. For what it's worth, Grayson was on the red team. I don't know if that means anything, but do with that what you will. Anything else? I mean, again, I'm combing through. You mentioned Tank Carrington. He did have a TFL. They have Brian Harris down for a sack. Jake Crail had a TFL and a QB hurry. Shield Knight with 4 tackles. I mean, like I said, you could pretty much, almost everyone at least had a moment, it felt like, especially on defense. Like, a lot of guys flashed, a lot of depth on display. And there was one time where with the number one offense, we're down in this red zone with John Mateer, and it was the number one offense, and the defense was all freshmen and year two guys. I think like the oldest guy on the field was like Shield Knight. And they buckled down and held him to a field goal. Just little moments where it's like, shout out the young guys, you know, in a tough spot, buckling down. I thought defensively the depth was on display.
Yeah, I thought, too, this was a really valuable opportunity for these guys to get on a game field and build that further camaraderie. Work on that leadership stuff in a game environment, kind of to what you're talking about. Maybe something that we won't get to discuss from here on out, but Ben Arbuckle shared a really cool story where they called a counterplay. The offensive line blocked it up really well, and the running back, younger running back, bounced outside. And Ben said Michael Fasusi went up to the running back and in a kinder but in a forceful manner was like, hey, man, hit the hole. We blocked it up perfectly.
We had you,
Trust in us. We got you. And that's the little stuff in this type of environment. Yes, it's a spring game. I think that stuff's really cool.
So we put a bow in the spring. Just kind of to get out of here, kind of wrap up the spring a little bit, Colin, in terms of just a little temp check, obviously. I mean, this team obviously was very good last year. They went to the playoff, but offensively could have been a lot better. It's hard to not feel like, and look, we're at that time of year, right, where it's the spring, everything is positive, you're not losing any games right now, so everything is happy and everything's good, but it does legitimately feel like there's no way the offense is not better. I don't how much better, I don't know, but it feels like they've upgraded almost across the board offensively.
Yeah.
Feels like John Mateer is primed to take a step. Hopefully you keep him healthier this time. You know, it feels like the offense certainly is in a place to be much better. Defensively, I don't see much of a step back at all. We'll see what it looks like when we get there, but it feels like they're still in a really good shape. You got the Owen Heineke news the other day, which certainly helps, which, by the way, the many men. How did we not mention that? That was unbelievable. We joked about it in the instant reaction, like, what would they do? He came out last, Owen Heineke. It's in the highlight video. And they played many men for him.
Yep.
He was in full uniform. That was sick.
I will say, when before that went down, like before the Owen Heineke hearing went down, I texted a source and I was like, hey, if he wins, what are you guys going to do? And the response was, I don't know, but it's going to be something silly. And that was awesome.
It was unreal. So that was fantastic. But, I mean, big picture, on April 18th, I feel like this team's going to be pretty darn good.
Yeah, so here's probably the best way that I can phrase it, because I think people out there watching this, listening to us, will rightfully respond when you say this offense is going to be better with, how do you possibly know? This is the spring game. You just talked about they went against the twos. And that you're absolutely right in that response. Here's how I can probably phrase it. Do I think they're going to be better? Yes. Do I think that they're going to be different? Absolutely. I think that that's kind of the big takeaway for me in this. Going back to what I was talking about earlier, we actually got to watch the 12 personnel stuff. Usage of three different tight ends. Those tight ends being extremely capable and a clear part of the vision for this offense, right? They were calling stuff and doing things that they just didn't do last year. And so I think from that perspective, they're going to be different. You saw them run the ball effectively. They leaned into like the pistol sets I was talking about. The offensive line looked a little bit more comfortable, bigger, stronger. I think that the offense should be better. Will we know with absolute certainty until the season starts? Obviously not, but I think that they showed today, at the very least, they're going to have a different element or two to them, and through that, maybe that leads to improvement.
For sure. Reasons to be optimistic and excited, I think, right now, and which is that's what spring's for, right? And it was a good day out here at the spring game, and we'll see where they go from here. Obviously, now you dive into the summer. I keep saying it, but they have two practices left. Brent Venables talked about that post-game where they're going to come back and clean up some last things this week, which is unique to have a couple practices after the spring game. And so spring camp, technically not quite done, but then they'll depart for the summer. And, you know, John Mateer, he talked about it. Like, he said he'd probably take, like, a weekend off in May, but other than that, he's not going anywhere. He's going to stay in Norman. They're going to keep working. And that's kind of the mindset. This feels like a very driven team, ready to try and make a run at this thing, obviously, in 2026. So a good spring. A good spring. Felt like it was a productive spring. Felt like they got better in some key areas. They developed some guys, and we'll see where they stand whenever August rolls around.
And thanks again to – I know we talk about a lot. Thanks again to Brent Venables and Mike Howe
for really allowing good access
us to
this year.
Cover the spring for the fan base as much as we possibly could. This was a really fun spring practice session.
It was. Very, very good access. We were out here a lot. We saw a lot of practices, talked to a lot of guys. That was really nice and helpful and good for the fans, you know.
Fun. I thought spring games are cool. I like spring games.
It was back. I think that's it for now. Obviously, full coverage over on the website, oklahoma.247sports.com. Subscribe. Be with us every single day. Obviously, over there, lots of VIP content. It was a big recruiting weekend as well. I was down here, Colin. There was guys everywhere pregame. Yeah. I know we talked about it. It wasn't as big of a list as it felt like it. There was a lot of dudes down here pregame. So a lot of content coming on that end of things. I'll see Tom and I will circle back on Monday with the podcast. We'll put a bow on this and the spring at large, and also get into other sports and everything else. But that's it on Spring Camp 2026. For Colin Kennedy, I'm Josh Calloway. We'll see you guys next time at this place in late August. Actually, I think it might be first week of September this year, because the way the calendar falls, when UTEP comes to town, that's when the instant reaction on the field will be back. We'll see you guys then. That's it for now. Stay with us, as always, on Sooners Illustrated.